You're listening to the Class on Task podcast, where you will hear tips, strategies, and resources related to behavior and education that can help you in your classroom.
Hey, listeners, I have been super excited about this interview because this is a guest that has an amazing podcast show and so many wonderful resources for teachers. And I'll be honest, I really wish I had this person in my life when I was a first year teacher. But lucky for you, you get to hear all of her wisdom and advice today. She's going to share with us 4 classroom management mistakes that new teachers make and how to avoid them. So I'd like to welcome today's guest, Dr. Lori Friesen. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Ashley. I'm so excited to be here today.
I am too. This is one of my favorite topics and a much, much needed one for not just new teachers, but anyone if they're entering into a new school or new grade level or just little reminders. It's great. I'm super excited. Yes.
Especially what we've been through the last couple of years. Everyone struggled with classroom management. I know a lot of veteran teachers are like, oh my gosh, like it's a whole new breed of challenge right now. So I'm excited to talk about this.
Oh yes, for sure. So we'll jump right in. So what's the first mistake that new teachers often make?
Well, I don't know about you, if you can think back to when you first started teaching, but this is true for me. And I see it again and again with new teachers. It's that we just try to do too much because, right, we have all these great ideas. We've been storing them up through our student teaching. We've been watching our mentor teachers. We've been on Pinterest. We've been on Instagram, and we keep seeing all these great ideas. But what happens is when we try to implement too many classroom management strategies all at once, it leads to confusion and to overwhelm for our students. So if you have tons of things going on, like maybe you're using Class Dojo, which is popular. Maybe you're using a Kachi Bean Good Jar. Maybe you're using individual sticker charts for kids. And then you throw in the latest Pinterest strategy that you see that's super cute. What's going to happen is the kids end up starting acting out. At least this is what happened for me in my classroom. Because they're overstimulated, their attention is just too divided. They don't really know what they're working for. They don't really know what they're striving for. And the reality is it's also too much for us to keep up with. Mm-hmm. So what I really recommend, not just new teachers, but all teachers do, is to choose one strategy and do it well, like really commit. So it needs to be something simple. It needs to be something that's easy for us, easy for you to maintain. It's easy for your students to remember. And remember, because that's the hardest part, right? Is for us to remember to constantly use it. It needs to be highly visual and it needs to be something that they actually want. So I used a lot in my classroom, especially at the beginning of the year, something called a Kachi Bean Good Jar, where all the kids could earn whatever it is, marbles or whatever type of thing you want. You could use marbles, you could use bingo chips, you could use buttons, whatever you want. But just think about one classroom management strategy or technique that you want to use to start the year and keep those things in mind. It needs to be simple, highly visual, and easy for you to implement.
I love that. And I can 100% relate to that. I remember being a first year teacher and I don't even think I was thinking about, oh, what's my classroom management going to be? It was, ooh, what's my theme? Ooh, I found this cute little ocean theme thing and this and this and this. And then it was like nights before the start of the school year, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do for behavior?
Right. We get so caught up in like the design, right? We want to design our classrooms. It's overwhelming too. Like that's kind of a big thing we have to take care of. But the classroom management, if we haven't really taken this to the next level and really thought it through, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's actually my the mistake that I see a lot of new teachers make is that they haven't thought things through carefully enough. So I don't know about you, but when I first started teaching, kind of like what you're saying about the class theme, I was so focused on what I needed to do that I didn't pay enough attention to what my students actually needed to do. I hadn't thought through how my students were going to do all of the things that I really wanted them to do and needed them to do in the classroom. And it kind of stands out when I think of things like classroom management in Writer's Workshop, right? There's a very clear outline for Writer's Workshop if you taught it. Like there's a mini lesson, individual writing time, your peer feedback, and your author's chair, just as a basic outline. But for example, during the mini lessons, so many things can fall apart. Like how will my students go to and from the carpet during this lesson for the mini lesson? Have I taught them my routine, my expectations for what they can do when they're moving throughout the classroom? It seems like such a simple thing, but teaching that routine and really practicing it with our students, honestly, at the beginning of the year, saves so much time and stress throughout the year because they know exactly what to do? And then after the mini lesson, do they know what to do during individual writing time? What if they get stuck? Do they know what to do and they need help? So all of those little things, thinking through the how you're going to do everything, can really trip us up. So I really encourage new teachers to ask themselves how for each new thing they want students to do throughout the day, so they can start thinking through all those routines that are going to be so helpful.
That's super, super important. I know we had another podcast episode with a veteran teacher and a first year teacher, and it was a mother daughter, and they kind of went through all the different like first week of school routines. And it's,
yes.
I think it's so something like we just take for granted that we understand what it should look like, but we're not directly teaching every single step. And I think that's so, so important to really break it down and think about the how. And I think that was the biggest thing too. Like looking back at when I was a first year teacher, there were little moments and it wouldn't happen until it happened in my classroom.
Right.
And like my behavior chart, I had one of those, you know, the common behavior charts. Well, I'm like, well, the student kept acting out and he was already at the bottom level. So then I'm like, right. What do I do? Just take him off.
Yes.
So there's so many things that you just don't think about. And, you know, the college or university classes, like they don't really prep you for all of the things because there's so many things as a teacher that you need to learn. Yeah. So it's a huge, huge, huge piece of advice. It's just really keeping mind of how you're going to teach all of those things and what it's going to look like.
Yep. And we take for granted, like we make so many assumptions about, well, kids know how to, mm-hmm. well, they might on some level know what they're supposed to do. But if you haven't actually taught them the rules of the road in your classroom, then they are going to just leave everything open for interpretation. And maybe at home, there isn't as much, I don't want to say consistency, but maybe there isn't as much structure at home. Like right. We don't know what they've come from. And so when you say walk to the carpet, for mm-hmm. a seven-year-old, that may mean 100 different things. That might mean I get to do a cartwheel on the way there, right? Like, so we need to think all of that through.
For sure. And I always remind teachers too, I'm like, these kids, they're not asking their parents, excuse me, can I go to the restroom? Like there's no right. like, can I go to the bathroom at home? You just go, you know,
yep.
you know, all
yep.
these little things you just don't think about. So
yes.
Yes. All right. So let's move to the next one. So what's the second mistake that new teachers often make when it comes to classroom management?
Well, the second mistake was that we don't think things through carefully enough. But the third one is that we are not consistent enough. So if we haven't thought it through carefully enough, the next thing is like, once we've thought it through and we know what we want them to do, we aren't as consistent as you, that probably came up with the mother and daughter conversation that you had,
yes.
because the daughter's probably like, yeah, well, no, I've already done that. And the mom was probably like, yeah, but are you consistent in implementing it? Because that's, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but again, that's where I tripped up all the time. And it's hard because there's several reasons why I think this happens. First of all, it's just human nature to avoid hard things, especially when they get hard, right? And when we're tired, we don't want to have to remind the kids for the eighth time, okay, that's not how you line up, or there's no pushing in line, or like we get so tired of telling them and we think they should get it the first time. It's kind of interesting because with content, with math or with reading or with any other content, we know we need to teach the concept and then we need to review, and spiral. Mm-hmm. the information, but it's so different when it comes to routines. We think, well, I already told you that,
yeah.
but they haven't learned it and we're tired and we're like, really? I have to tell you again. Yeah, actually you probably have to tell them about 8 more times before they're really going to get it. And the second reason, at least for me, and tell me if you can relate to this, Ashley, because probably you're the same. I really wanted my students to like me. So mm-hmm. I was afraid that if I was consistent in asking them to do the things I needed them to do, that they would be like, but you know, you're mean.
Like, yeah.
I realize now I'm actually creating a safe space for learning for them. And they really like feeling the consistency and the safety of that. Mm-hmm. But it was hard for me to be consistent because I thought I was being mean. And the third reason that it, again, you probably, every teacher listening is probably going to nod their head.
Yep.
I thought it took too much time to do this, like to constantly be reinforcing and helping students to understand that these are the rules of our classroom and the routines we're going to have. Because I'm like, I have to get to the content. I have to get to the content. But when we skip over that part, when we race to get to content and we don't take the time to be consistent and to keep reminding kids, even though it's hard, we end up having problems throughout the year and it ends up taking mm-hmm. us tons more time anyway. So that's a big challenge. I think that a lot of us struggle with in, when we're new teachers.
I 100% agree. And that consistency part is really, really difficult. I think for first year teachers or veteran teachers.
Yes, we get
tired. Depending on the day, your mood.
Or the time of the year, right? Like, so it's like almost Halloween, we're tired. Or it's almost the Christmas season or the holiday break, we're tired. Or it's almost the end of the year, we're exhausted. It's hard to stay consistent with that.
For sure. And it's, I always tell teachers too, I'm like, you know, put in the work now and your future self will thank you later. You know, it's going to take a lot of time to work on these routines and keep consistent with what you're doing in your classroom.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about the fourth mistake new teachers often make when it comes to a classroom management system.
Yeah. And I think this is another one we probably all can relate to, is that we think, so we come across this great strategy and then we make the mistake of assuming that the same strategy or the same type of strategy is going to work all year long. We're like, ooh, this is working. Awesome. So what I want to encourage teachers is to remember that kids need change. The only thing constant in classrooms really is change. And we're going to continue to need to experiment with all different types of classroom management approaches until we find the one that A, works today and works with our classroom management style and that the kids aren't bored of. So there's a lot of different ways we can do it. I just encourage teachers to really make sure that they keep experimenting, that they approach this as like a mad scientist, like try something different. And then if that doesn't work, try something different again. And don't assume it's you. Don't assume it's the kids. Just assume that you're trying something different. It's just an experiment. And it's fine if it doesn't work because there's 100 more things you can try. So how? Simple things you can do. For example, one thing I did in my classroom was I experimented with daily, weekly, and monthly challenges. So I experimented with different lengths of challenges to kind of see what my students responded best to. So for example, a daily challenge, and I use this one often if it was right before a holiday or right before like a break of some kind and the kids were especially like wild or full moon, I would put up the letters to spell a reward, a secret reward on the board. And I'd say, if you can earn the letters by the end of today to spell this reward, then we all get to enjoy it together. And they like that because there's a little bit of mystery involved. There's a little bit of a challenge involved. I like to use weekly mystery motivators in my classroom too. You've probably seen this online where you just put up a picture of anything literally and covered in sticky notes. And you put the number or the name of the reward on the actual picture and they have to earn the right to remove the sticky notes so that they can reveal the reward underneath. And that can take about a week to experiment with that. And also, I also love to experiment with different student groupings. So for example, I would take, if you use girls versus boys, sometimes we're not using that as much in classrooms anymore, but student groupings for example, if you have six or seven different groups of students in your classroom, they can all compete to get to line up for recess first or line up for lunch first, just using simple tally marks on the board. So all simple strategies, but again, all different strategies. And if you keep changing it up that way, kids aren't going to get nearly as bored. You're going to have a lot more fun in your classroom because you get to keep experimenting and keep asking the kids for their input. Ooh, that was fun. Or did you like that one? What did you like about it? What could we try differently? Because kids are so creative and they support what they help create. So if they're helping you to come up with the reward or with the challenge, then I think they're going to buy into it a lot more.
Oh, yes, I agree. Yeah. Those are a lot of great ideas. And I couldn't support you more with that statement of just, you have to vary it during the year because it's going to get boring for you and the kids. And kind of going back to your first mistake, like there's so much that we can do as teachers and it's overwhelming. But then again, like if we're doing all of it, we really don't know what one part is super effective. So I like the idea that you're saying, kind of try something out, see what it is. If is there a positive change in classroom behavior? Do your kids like it? And kind of go by there. I think one thing I struggle with as a teacher was like, I had a classroom management, one of my classroom management systems, it would work for most of my kids, but then there was one.
Right.
And he's like, I don't care about that.
Yep.
So just kind of remembering to always individualize it with certain kiddos too, if they need a little extra support.
Yeah. And when that happens, I love to pull that one aside and say, okay, what should we try? And because when they're part of it and you're like, okay, what do we want to work towards in our classroom? What do you think we should try? They start thinking of the solution and then they buy into it and they try to get everyone else involved, which is their exactly idea. What you want, right? It's so much fun to work with those kids.
So how can new teachers remain flexible with their classroom management and still have fun? I know you kind of mentioned this a little bit with like adding those different fun rewards and systems, but what are some other tips you have?
I think honestly, the bottom line is to hold it all more lightly, to stop taking ourselves so seriously with all of this. It feels overwhelming when, especially when, like you said, you have a few students who are really tough, who might be challenging us. And if you have a strategy that isn't currently working, it's really easy to go down that negative rabbit hole and think, oh my gosh, I'm not good at my job. I'm never going to get the hang of this. We start saying really negative things to ourselves. You and I briefly talked just before the podcast about Marie Forleo's book, Everything is Figure Outable.
Yes.
And that applying that mindset to, so if you haven't read it, please read it. It's such a good book. But it's such a great mindset in terms of reminding ourselves what we're saying to ourselves has power. And if we are continually saying to ourselves things like, oh, I'm not, this isn't working. I can't do this. I'm not a good teacher. They're never going to listen. Well, guess what? Probably you're going to be inviting more of that into your classroom. But if you switch the mindset just a little bit and say, okay, you know what? I'm a new teacher. I'm just learning just like my students. I would not expect them to get any of the content that I'm teaching them right away. Immediately, I get to give myself a break. I get to be a learner here and I get to model what I teach, that we're all failing forward. We're figuring this out as we go. And that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. I mean, we need to have more compassion for ourselves and hold it more lightly and give ourselves a break. I think that's really how we can start having more fun with this and let ourselves off the hook a little bit. We put so much pressure on ourselves. So that would be my number one tip for new teachers, especially, but for all of us.
Yes, we all need that reminder. Me too. I remember like the first year teaching, I just thought I had to be so serious. Like,
yes,
because you know,
perfect.
20, 21, I don't know, super young, but you know, I'm thinking, oh, I don't have kids. I'm so young. This is my first year. All these parents are thinking this little girl's too young to teach my class, you know, and you just have to, you're trying to be so serious. And I remember there was one day that I just was in a goofy mood and I started changing my voice a lot, like even reading instructions and just different things the other day. And my kids loved it. And then they started asking me, hey, do that one voice. I'm like, okay.
Because you got to be yourself finally, right? Yeah. You took that pressure off and we're like, okay, this is intended to be fun. I'm with kids who are the funnest people on the planet, right? Yeah. They are the most fun people on the planet. Yeah. So let's enjoy them. Let's actually be more kid-like and let ourselves be lighter. So I love that you just shared that. That's awesome.
All right. So you shared so many great things today. Can you just kind of recap what were the four classroom management stakes that new teachers can make?
So first of all, we try to do too much at once, all at one time. So I really encourage all of us, myself included, to try to do less, better. We don't need to do 100 things. We need to focus on one and really focus in on doing a great job with that one thing. So, and just change it up when it stops working. Number two, we so often have not thought things through carefully enough before we start teaching. So I encourage new teachers, especially when you're doing your planning, to think through how. So here's what they're going to do. I want you to now take another look at your lesson plans and go, how are they going to do all of these things? Where could the things blow up a little bit? Where could things go off the rails? Number three, we aren't consistent enough. So I encourage everybody to just slow down at the beginning of the year and take the time to really teach the routines you need to. Don't expect them to get it right away because they're going to need the consistency of you teaching the same thing to them over and over again, just like you do any other content. Slow down now so you can speed up the rest of the year. And number four, we make the mistake of assuming that the same strategy is going to work for us all year long when it just doesn't. Try different seasonal strategies, try different lengths of time strategies, try different grouping strategies, and just keep experimenting. Hold it more lightly. Let yourself have some fun with this because it is intended to be fun.
I love all those four mistakes and suggestions on how to fix them. This is awesome. And listeners, I know you're probably wondering how on earth you can find out more from Lori. So Lori, tell us all the places that people can find you to continue learning from you.
Sure. So I have a podcast also. It's called the Beginning Teacher Talk Podcast. So you can find me on everywhere that you listen to your podcasts. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook at Beginning Teacher Talk. We have a great private Beginning Teacher Talk Facebook group that I encourage new teachers to join. We have like 7,000 new teachers in there that are all so supportive of each other. They're wonderful.
That's
ladies.
Awesome.
Mostly ladies. I mean, we have a few token gentlemen and things in there, but it's mostly ladies. And I also have an amazing little gift for your audience as well. If they're struggling with classroom management, that I wanted to offer to them because I have worked with over 1,000 new teachers now in my academy. And I've noticed that there's really some key areas where we all get tripped up when it comes to classroom management. So this is the ultimate classroom management checklist for elementary teachers. So you can outline and troubleshoot your streamlined classroom management plan literally in 30 minutes or less. So I'll link to that for you.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Really fun to work through. You're like, oh my gosh, that's something so simple that messes me up every day. Why didn't I think of that? It's simple. So
hopefully. Well, thank you so much. We all appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, Lori, it's been a pleasure. And I am so thankful that you were a guest on our show and we all get to learn so much from you. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashley. I've had a great time.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. If you found value in this show, please leave a rating or share it with a friend. Resources mentioned during this episode and links to our social media pages can be found in our show notes. If you want to learn more about how Class on Task can make a difference in your classroom or school, check out our website, classontask.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, and see you next time.